I will be made fun of for the rest of my life for what happened on a New York City subway. It's Jason. Welcome to Drive Time. Hour two in effect. Timberwolves in the Western Conference Championships tonight. That's going to be fun. That's what I'm going to be doing. Watching some basketball. Wolves are in Oklahoma City. Tip at 7:30. We got Amy Hockert. Fox 9's Amy Hockert. The most lovably unhinged Timberwolves fan, certainly on social media. Amy will join us at 5:35 here on Drive Time to get us ready for the game. So, I was in New York. We were doing all the New York things. I was there to pick up Seth from NYU. Dang it. Called him Sam. Alyssa called Seth Sam a couple times as well while we were in New York. And kids don't like that. Don't really care for that. So I'm in New York and we go to get bagels. And so, like, that's great. Go to get bagels. It's all good. And I get a cup of coffee because it was early in the morning. And also because I like coffee. So I've got my everything bagel with jalapeno schmear on it. And I got my cup of coffee. And off we go to the subway. We get in the train. Get on the 6. You know, walk down the stairs. Train shows up. Get in. Alyssa sits down. Seth sits down. I am walking to grab onto the pole. And as I walk, the train starts moving. I lurch forward. I squeeze the coffee cup. The lid pops up. The coffee goes everywhere, including on a woman and her dress sitting to my right. Coffee flying all over the place. My question to you is, what would you do in this moment? 651-461-9226. What do? When you spill coffee on somebody else, hot coffee, but not like McDonald's lawsuit hot coffee. Of course, like, what I wanted to do was cry. Cry for it being embarrassing. Cry for the fact that I got coffee. Now, it's not all over this woman's dress. So picture a woman seated in like a sundress. And so there's like a little bit of coffee. Not a little bit. Like, it's only like a little 12-ounce cup. But it was probably, let's say, 2 ounces of coffee. That'll leave a stain, right? And a little bit on her legs. So Alyssa comes to me. Now, picture this scene. Alyssa comes to me with napkins because Alyssa's a mom. Of course, she required a large handful of napkins. So she brings me some napkins. There's a police officer stationed in the subway train, which, by the way, in New York, cops everywhere. It was wonderful. So there are police everywhere. So the police officer says, give me the coffee cup. I'll hold the coffee cup. So she takes the coffee from me. She's being incredibly nice. And so what I do is I apologize like crazy. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then I ask, are you okay? And she says, I'm not okay. And then you know you're not in Minnesota. At that moment, you know you're not in Minnesota. As a texter said, if I'm in Minneapolis, what I do is I apologize and apologize and apologize. If I'm in NYC, I get off at the next stop and run. So I apologize multiple times. I say, are you okay? After I've given her some napkins. You know, I can't like wipe someone. You know, what is What are you supposed to do? So I give her napkins. She dries it off. And she says, I am not okay. She's like, I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to change my clothes. I'm going to have to dry clean this. I don't know if I'll be able to. Like, it's a whole thing. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And the cop says to me, it's okay. Accidents happen. The police officer is trying to make me feel better. I am a 50-year-old man, and the police officer in that scenario was like, it's all right, buddy. Like, you know, don't let this woman steamroll you. It's all right. So her friends are all, like, trying to help her clean up. And then I have to, like, what am I supposed to do? I have to sit down. As if a sign from the gods, my computer just went to a blue screen, said, we're having a problem. We got to restart. That's it. The computer's just had it with this story. I thought this was a pretty good story. Rick is on the phone because Rick wants to weigh in on the story. Rick, I felt awful. And then I'm trapped on this train with this woman.
I'd feel awful, too, but I think you did the right thing. And I guess what I would do is I'd offer to pay for the dry cleaning. And when I got put on hold, I think you were just talking about she was going to have to go home and I assume probably change her clothes and whatnot.
Right.
But I guess I would have offered, you know, to pay for the dry cleaning and apologize. And that's about the best you could do. They call them accidents because that's what they are, you know, and you were more than apologetic about it. On the other hand, I'm thinking to myself, well, if she was really, really good looking, I'd say, well, if you got something else there, you could take that off and I'll clean it for you.
I tried to keep it on the up and up. We're all good here. Very good, Rick. Thank you.
All right.
So I did go sit down because I felt like I shouldn't be, there is a certain point where I shouldn't be walking around with a loaded coffee cup, right? Like, I mean, clearly, I had some trouble. So, I did offer money. I did offer money.
Do we want to discuss how much you offered?
Sure. So,
I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm genuinely curious.
Well, yeah, you sort of have that moment where you're like, what is the right... Like, what should I do?
Should you offer enough for her to go buy a coffee, or should you offer enough to replace the dress?
And, like, it was fortunate that I had some cash on me, and as one of our texters said, this is why I keep a emergency $100 in my pocket, in my wallet. I already had to break the emergency 100 on that trip to tip, what are you, the bellman, when they bring in your bag.
Yeah.
So I had cash, thankfully. So I offered her a $20 bill. I just went up with a folded up 20 and said, I'm still sorry, but take this. And she did not. She didn't take the money, which I have to say, like, I wish she took the money, because if she took the money, then I'm sort of off the hook, right? Like, then I'm sort of off the hook. But she didn't take the money. And I believe she didn't take the money because she wanted me to sit and suffer. Isn't that the power move? I spilled on you. I give you $20. I try to give you $20, but if you accept it, you also are allowing me to wash my hands of the scenario. She did the truly brilliant and evil thing, which is to not allow me to have closure on the scenario. Michael's in Minneapolis. Was $20 enough, Michael? Should I have offered more?
I think you followed it to the letter of a kind and normal human being, but I don't... The normal, what is normal these days? So I myself travel in some tight quarters, transportation sometimes, and I mean, you handled it like a gentleman. The cop behaved normally back to you, and as soon as the woman made the comment of "I'm not okay" with enunciating that, it sounded like, or were you embellishing that?
No, that's what it sounded like. Yes, there is a lot of judgment in the "I'm not okay." Yeah.
So I think she kind of turned the script to, we're not going to behave normal here and accident, and then you could have then maybe said, well, you know, besides you were concerned maybe she was burned, are you okay, what can I do for you? And leave it on them, and then if she, you know, still sounds like she gave you an attitude, but I think
that's pretty good, Michael.
Yeah. Perfect.
I wish I had done that. Good call. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for that would have been a good move. What could I do? What can I do? And just leave it at that. A texter asked another good question that I'm going to answer after the break. How long after did you ride together? Oh, because the awkwardness of this does get worse. Because I'll tell you where we were headed. And how that ties into that. And really the longest telling of a story of someone spilling a cup of coffee in radio history. That when we come back on CCO. Make sure you subscribe to the DeRussia Eats podcast. In-depth interviews with chefs, with farmers, with restaurateurs. Just search DeRussia Eats. Those in-depth interviews and our conversations about food here on the air. DeRussia Eats brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. And Serdex Liquor and Cheese Shop. So how long did I ride on the subway with, you know, the victim of my idioticness? Let's be clear. Should I have brought a cup of coffee in a non-like reusable cup on the subway? No. Rookie, stupid mistake. About five more stops together. We're on the subway because we're going to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. We're going to the Met. And I'm looking at this woman and her two friends. And as I'm sitting down alone, because my family is trying to pretend that they don't know me, I'm thinking...
Although, to be fair, that's par for the course.
Par for the course, yeah, that's our standard public transportation seating arrangement. So... I'm sitting there thinking, this woman's going to the Met, right? Like, she's wearing a dress.
Sure.
Well, she could have been going anywhere, New York City, whatever. But
right,
I,
but in
just
your mind, in that circumstance.
Yeah, I'm building it up.
Yeah.
No, she was freaking going to the Met.
Of course.
She gets off at 77th Street. The spill happened down at, like, 33rd. So we spent... So I keep watching, right? I'm like, well, we can get off at 77th or we can get off at like 86th and backtrack down to the museum. I'm like, we're getting off at 77th. And sure enough, she gets up at 77th. And so what I do, because I'm a man of courage, is I get off the train and then I stop. And I just wait for like 5 minutes to let her get a good head start. Because I didn't want to run into this woman at in line or at the museum or whatever.
I'd have gone to 86th. I'd have just sat right back down.
I thought about it. Yeah. I like, maybe we'll go one more. Yep. No.
No. I'd have ducked and covered.
Texters, Jason, $20 is absolutely enough. Another texter, Jason, $20 is nowhere near enough. Especially in NYC, 50 or 100 is the amount. Another texter. Now, come on. If you spill coffee on someone in the subway, is this the same as, like, getting in a car accident? Like, where I have to, I should pay for the repairs?
Well, you're not trading insurance cards here, but it is New York City.
Right. I don't know.
I'm $20.
Do you dry clean everything? Like, I don't know. $20 felt like it would clean the... dress?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
The prices would be in New York City.
$20, says another texter, is an insult. A slap in the face to the injury I've already caused. I should have offered more money. 40 or 50, says a texter.
I wouldn't be shocked if she took it that way. Would you?
As an insult? No, I think she just... I think she was trying to get to the forgiveness phase, where it was like, don't worry about it.
Okay.
But she didn't say don't worry about it.
No.
It was just a no.
So maybe she was trying to get to the forgiveness phase, but
she wasn't
there. Still upset.
That's what I think.
Yeah, okay.
Texter Jason, I would try to get you to spill coffee on my blouse for $20. Yeah, I mean, you're... Now, Texter's asking approximately how old this woman was.
That's a fair question.
And I would say probably my age, like adult, not like a young adult, not like an old lady. I would say, and by old lady, I'm meaning 80 plus, just to be clear.
Aggressively middle-aged, is that?
Yeah, I'd say maybe a skosh older than me, but like in the ballpark.
Okay.
Couldn't I have done a commercial for somebody and get her dress cleaned for free? That's fair, too.
It's an excellent point.
At least I didn't wipe the coffee off her, and that certainly would have pissed off my wife.
That would have been creepy on several levels, yeah.
But you do have that sort of dad instinct to try to let me just... So you have this in your mind, and then you're stopping yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, I've got the napkins. And then another random person on the subway came and brought me more napkins. I will say this, like,
wow.
People look at New York and you're like, they're all... No, like, the cop was nice.
Sure.
Another rando. I think everyone felt bad for me. And, of course, for the person.
I was going to say, they might feel a little bit worse for her than for you.
I don't know. Who do you feel worse for in that scenario?
I'd rather be the person spilling the coffee than having the coffee spilled on me. I would think that's
pretty standard. Yeah, I do think, like, to be clear, I think her and someone was like,
you got the way to make yourself the victim by calling her evil for not taking my money.
I would encourage people to remember that we do joke around on this show. And sometimes I say stuff thinking that, like, you might get a chuckle out of it. That's all. If I were her, like, I would be mad. I would be mad. Also, like...
But you would be very Minnesota, and you would say, no, it's okay, everything's fine, no, don't worry about it, it's all right.
Yeah.
The whole time, the thought process is you.
Right. But I would have, for sure. Now, the texter says, the funny part is right now she's doing a radio show in New York asking, what would you do if someone spilled coffee on your dress?
Let me tell you about this idiot on the subway.
And he only offered me $20. Give me a call at 212. That's pretty good. Another texter, a more experienced radio professional, would have gotten contact info so my producer could arrange an on-air follow-up. You guys are the best. 4:31, we'll break. We'll be back with Joe Tamburino. Lots of legal issues to talk about, including a rethinking of the prosecutions of the officers of the George Floyd case. Could there be, or the Derek Chauvin case, of the death of George Floyd, could there be a pardon? What are some of the other issues around this? We'll talk about it with Joe in just a minute. Well, this week you are going to be seeing a lot of revisiting, a lot of analysis as we hit 5 years. Man, I can't believe it's been 5 years since we all woke up on Memorial Day 2020 and saw that video. That video is still the Darnella Frazier's video is still, I think, in most people's mind, the indelible image of a police officer sitting on George Floyd, kneeling. And that image has, in many ways, and that trial has changed Minnesota, has changed discussions about policing for good and for bad. And we thought it would be worthwhile to have Joe Tamburino in. Joe and I spent just about every day together during trial of Derek Chauvin, which is why, and I want to start with this, Joe. Joe's a criminal defense attorney, legal analyst. On TV, I always had to say not involved in the George Floyd case and Derek Chauvin case. There's been such a shift And time changes people's memories. But there has been a shift, which I find interesting, especially police officers, I think, at the time were very much against Derek Chauvin. And today, 5 years later, I don't know if politics affects it or if there's resentment in the way that officers have been treated in that time. But I find a lot more officer openness to defending Derek Chauvin. Which, man, you remember 5 years ago, it was hard to find anyone willing to really defend. And we saw all the evidence, which I think a lot of the internet commenters today are not. But are you surprised that there's been such a sort of refashioning of the way people think about this?
Well, thanks for having me on, Jason. No, I'm not surprised for this one reason, which is that the Chauvin trial happened so quickly, such close proximity to the murder, to Mr. Floyd's death. I mean, that was on a rocket docket. We talked about it, too, when the trial happened. I mean, the judge at the time, Judge Cahill, denied any type of change of venue and denied all the continuances. It literally is almost unheard of to have such a trial of that magnitude happen within basically 10 months of the incident. So, you know, because of how almost rushed it was, now that you have 5 years looking on it, of course, you're going to get varying opinions. Yeah. I mean, I think it would have been a different trial if the venue was changed or if, you know, you gave it a couple of years. Most murder cases in Hennepin County especially, they don't go to trial for a good 2 years.
So that this was so fast, obviously emotions around it. I mean, you have to bear in mind that trial was going on at the same time in Brooklyn Center, another man was killed at the hand of a police officer. I don't whether you want to say it was certainly an accident, whether it rose to the level of negligence, I don't know. Right. But shouldn't have happened. So
right, that happened.
You had all that going on at the same time as this trial.
At the same time as the trial, and you also had that the trial was still happening within the COVID time period, because as you know, there was social distancing of all the jurors. Everybody had to wear masks. You know, it was just a different period of time. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Have your views changed at all?
No. I mean, I still think Mr. Chauvin was guilty of the manslaughter. I never thought he was guilty of the second degree murder, only because there were some legal issues with that. But of the manslaughter, yes. No, my views haven't changed with that.
Joe Tamburino with us. I think, you know, it's interesting because I analyze my own views and my views on this haven't changed either, that I do think I was at the time surprised that the other officers who were on the scene were charged so aggressively. And I remain, you know, I do think they were, well, some of them pled guilty, which I wonder if they wish they could have taken that back and had a trial. But I do think that especially the two new officers.
Right.
I don't think justice was served by those prosecutions. Now, I do think they probably were technically guilty of the charges, but this is where prosecutor kind of discretion comes into play. And some of my thoughts about, I wish we had a better way to handle incidents involving police in our legal system, because we try to wedge them into other statutes that are meant for people who are actual criminals.
Right. And, you know, and I agree with part of that, which is that, you know, the other officers, I thought, you know, looking back on it, especially should not have been charged. And you can tell that, you know, the state, after they charged them, obviously didn't put a lot of stock into the charges because they gave them pretty good deals.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they said, OK, at the end of the day, even though your co-defendant got 22 and a half years, we're going to give you all 3 years. And that always tells you something from the prosecution side when a prosecutor who's already obtained a conviction for the co-defendant and he's getting more than 20 years says to the other co-defendants, well, even though before I said this is all very serious and we're going to go for the max that we can, we're going to offer you 3 years. So, you know, that's always a telltale sign that something's going on.
Joe Tamburino is with us. There is a new Supreme Court ruling that talks about excessive force, which is very relevant to this, and really a lot of the national cases that capture everyone's attention. What can you tell us about that new ruling?
Well, the new case basically says this, that when a police officer is going to use specifically deadly force, it can't just be the immediate threat. You have to look at the totality of circumstances. So it clarifies that. But what it does also say is it says that the officer at the time can look back on the history of the person that they're dealing with. Mm. So if all of a sudden an officer sees someone on the street that the officer believes he's had run-ins before, he's fought with me before, I know this guy fights with the police, I know this guy is high most of the time, he could use that in his factoring as to when to use force. Yes. So that new
case makes sense, because that's how an officer would be analyzing a situation. Sure. There's no evidence in the Chauvin Floyd case that they
relevant. There's no evidence whatsoever in that.
But sure makes sense to me, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when an officer approaches someone and who's, you know, acting, you know, say in a, you know, in a criminal manner, and the officer's already had some type of run-ins with him before, of course it gets factored into it with the totality of circumstances.
I want to ask you what would happen if there is a pardon. There's been so much conversation about this. We don't, there's also been no real evidence that this is coming. But if Donald Trump, the president, should pardon Derek Chauvin, which he could, be well within his right to do it, man, I think it'd be unfortunate to light this place. You know, you want to reignite, sort of take us back to where we were 5 years ago. I think that might have the potential for that. But if he did that, Derek Chauvin's not getting out of jail.
No, it's not going to affect much. Right now, Chauvin is in custody with the federal authorities till 2037, approximately. And if the president pardoned him, he would still be in custody with the state authorities till 2035. So you would shave basically 2 years off of his sentence. I don't know why the president would pardon him, especially right now, because Chauvin still has two motions before the federal court. You know, in federal court, he pled guilty.
Right.
And he got his, you know, 23 years there. But right now he has two active motions. One is he's saying vacate my plea of guilty because I had ineffective assistance of counsel for a number of reasons. And the second motion he has, which actually he's been winning so far, is we want to re-examine certain physical pieces of evidence of Mr. Floyd. And the government, the U.S. Attorney's Office, has objected to that. But so far, the federal court in St. Paul has said yes. The defense can examine that. So his case is technically still active in the federal system.
Yeah, so why would you?
I don't see the reason for it.
Stand by. I know you have some thoughts on the Diddy trial. I want to get to that.
Sure.
And lots of texts coming in. If you guys have questions for Joe Tamburino that you want to raise, go ahead. Fire it up. 651-461-9226. Drive Time coming back in just a minute. So when I was in New York, I did go by the federal court, where they had it all barricaded off for the massive throngs of media, the courthouse all locked down because of the trial of Sean Diddy Combs. You've been watching this as much as you can, right?
As much as you can, yeah.
Joe Tamburino is our guest today. You know, these federal cases are not, there's no televised, there's no audio, it's
right.
Just old-fashioned note-taking, right?
That's right, and that's basically because of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. He despised cameras in the courtroom, and the way the system is set up, I don't even know if within our lifetime they'll have cameras in the federal courthouse, but if you were going to, you'd want to be on this case. There is no doubt about that.
Oh, my goodness. The drama here and the celebrity aspect, but
right.
It obviously just disturbing and salacious and horrifying. And does he have a lane in here to kind of get away with this?
It's very small. So basically what he's arguing is this. He's saying, I'm not a great guy. I'm an abuser. I've done this. I've done that. But I'm not operating a RICO type of situation. And here's what the government has to prove. They have to prove that basically his enterprise was a criminal enterprise, that he did at least two predicate acts, it's called, of RICO acts that cross state lines. What are those? Those are things like human trafficking, prostitution, extortion, drugs, whatever it is. And in most, 99% of RICO cases, it involves a conspiracy. He's not charged with a co-conspirator. Now, the government can show that he worked in concert with others without those others having been charged, but it's a tougher road to go down. Mm-hmm. So I think the evidence against him is, for the most part, extremely strong. But the prosecutor at some point in this trial has to get the RICO aspect in to show that, look, he was doing a criminal enterprise so he could bring in prostitutes, bring in strippers, bring in drugs, whatever it is, cross state lines. And that's why it's all under RICO, the Racketeering Influence Corruption Organization.
Being a pervert and being a swinger is not a crime.
No, no. Just being that is not. Well, it depends how you define pervert.
Do it, I guess. Right. Yeah.
I mean, if obviously you're using prostitutes, children, underage, of course, yes, you're going to violate a whole host of laws.
But just being, if it's all consensual.
Right. That's right. Now,
I'm not trying to defend this. Right. I mean, this is pretty disgusting. And there's a ton of evidence to indicate that there was, that he was threatening people, that they were being kept silent, all of this. So,
well, and what this gets down to is this: it's that fine line when you have celebrity or people in power where they can pressure someone without saying, do this or I'll kill you. Do this or I'll do something like that. It's almost implied, the coercion. Now, Cassie testified very well against Combs. I mean, she was a powerful witness. But what the defense is going to keep arguing is, look, no matter what he did, he never put a gun to anybody's head.
Kid Cudi testified. I mean, this is the A-list of the A-list, all of these people who are part of some of this stuff. Crazy.
Yeah, and that, you know, and other people are going to be coming out of the woodwork. I mean, you know, we hear all these things about Justin Bieber. I have no idea if he's going to be a witness in the trial or not. But there's, you know, such a trail behind Diddy Combs, such a trail.
Joe, we're out of time. We appreciate it. We'll have you back soon. 5 years. So much has changed since that moment. The murder, and I do call it a murder. He was found guilty of murder.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know people don't like that. He didn't murder. Well, there's a trial. Murder is, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
CBS News coming up. We will have the latest on this lawsuit. High school softball players filing lawsuit against the state for allowing a trans player